Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special NFL playoffs edition of Stand By Your Band.
I'm defending the Fox Sports robot.
Now, what do you have to say about the allegations against the Fox Sports robot?
Well, first of all, it's hard to say what he did because we're not even sure he's a guy.
That's true.
I use him as Alexa. Fox Sports robot. What temperature is it? Then he just stiff arms me. I'm excited to talk about the NFL. That's the only reason we do. This is an NFL podcast now.
We're tired of this shit.
So let's introduce our guest since he rudely spoke already.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Bengals quarterback,
high school football star, Dan Dreeves.
Hey, everybody.
You were a high school football player, right?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah, I played wide receiver and special teams mostly.
Damn. Yeah. Were you a returner?
No, I blocked the kicker on kickoff return.
Somebody should stop that kicker. Yeah.
It was the most fun job because it was the only time that I was like, there might be a guy smaller than me on the field right now.
It's the only time you get to punch a soccer player.
Yeah.
Man,
that's for freedom fries, and then I ran to the end zone.
He's like, we're from the same town.
You never played football, did you, Tommy?
I played in grade school.
Oh, okay.
I had one sack. I was a defensive lineman, and everyone reacted as if Rudy had gotten a tackle. I was like, well, maybe this isn't my sport.
That's the worst when people are too proud of you.
Yeah,
nobody's got time for that. Yeah, I played intramural football in college.
In college, wow.
Yeah, but I wasn't good. I played quarterback, and I immediately threw like two picks, and then I pulled myself out of the game.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I don't, you guys deserve better. And then my buddy was like, I'm glad that we don't have to tell you.
we should play, since we're talking about the NFL. Well, first of all, let me just say that the Chicago Bears broke my heart. And
last weekend was a rough one.
It was the most disappointing sports loss I've had in many years. I hadn't been so excited about something.
I mean, they had such promise. As you know, I decided not to watch football this season. I boycotted the NFL. I was out on it. And then the Colts, in a situation not unlike Angels in the Outfield, where if whatever, what was the team, if it's the Angels, go to the pennant or whatever.
If the Angels win the pennant, then that guy gets his kid back.
That guy will come back to his family. That's what I did with football.
Same thing, yeah.
If the Colts make the playoffs, I'm watching football.
I said, it's all about moral compromises. That's all life is. Anyway.
Anyway, the Bears suck.
The Bears lost. No, I'm just kidding. I was at a Bears bar. Everyone's wearing Bears jerseys, and we were all so excited. And I will tie this into music, actually, because the Bears lost on you know what happened. It was a missed field goal. And the bar went completely silent. The bar played one song, which was All My Friends by LCD Sound System.
Oh,
and I almost started crying in the bar. Literally, a friend put his hand on my shoulder because it was affecting me so much. It's like my favorite song ever.
I mean, it's a great song and a very sad song to listen to in that moment.
And then they turned on full volume, the Golden Globes monologue, and I was so pissed off. I was like, fuck you, Sandberg, fuck you, Sandra Ho. I want to listen to your shit right now. I was so upset. And then everyone just like quietly, angrily filed out of the bar as they did their monologue, and it was very fun to see.
Oh, man. That is a sad, sad weekend. And I felt bad for you, Mac, man.
Yeah. All the Eagles fans I know, literally no one texted me after. I got multiple texts the next day being like, why don't you give you a little buffer before I texted you about this?
Patty texted you?
Patty texted me the next day. He's like, I gave you 24 hours to mourn.
It's been a full day. I'm going to call him Bitch Trubisky now.
But we wanted to talk about the NFL because we remembered how much we loved this song and we wanted to play it. You guys might remember this song. It was, who sings it?
I should have been queuing this up the whole time because I do not. Oh wait, no, it was it's that old country guy. Is it not Neil? Shit, I've got to look it up.
While you're looking it up, I'll tell this quick story. Dan and I, we did a show together last night. That was very fun. And then we went to a bar after, Josie's great bar, and our friend Kevin Lobkovich, former guest, I noticed him talking to some, like, 50-year-old guy at the bar for, like, too long.
Yeah, the guy, like, had his hand on Kevin's shoulder, and they didn't know each other, so that was weird.
So we were all just kind of looking like, what the fuck is this guy's doing? And then Kevin walks away, and he goes, he told me he's praying for me. So then I was like, this is my instinct. I was like, well, I have to go talk to this guy, which I don't know why, but that was at the time. I was like,
there was a second where we were like, oh, Tommy went to order a drink and got cornered. And then we all realized like, no, Tommy is in on this conversation.
Oh, I went in. Yeah. So I just wanted to see like what his deal was. And I went to talk to him and he wanted to talk about politics for a while. And he kept asking me, he talked about the deficit and stuff. And then at one point he was like, I don't want to tell you like, about what I am because I think you'll think I'm an asshole. And I was like, are you a libertarian? And he goes, no, I'm a genius. And he was this like hammered drunk guy. And then he ended up telling me a story where he called his mom a witch and his dad thought he said bitch, so he joked him out. And then that was when I was like, I'm going to go join my friends again.
This guy's not having a good night.
Oh my God, that's
it's like
incredible.
I only called her a witch.
I mean, witch is just as bad
as
bitch.
Bad,
it's still an insult. No, I said witch. Oh, my apologies, sir. I'll stop joking you.
Witch is almost worse, yeah. I think. So I have some big news here.
Oh.
First of all, the song is called, the artist is Neil McCoy.
Oh, good memory.
The song is called Take a Knee, My Ass. Let's listen to that, and then I'll...
Isn't it Take a Knee, My Ass, parentheses, I won't take a knee?
This one is
the full title.
That is the full title. This one just says Take a Knee, My Ass. I think that Spotify did him a solid and took off the dumbest part of the song. The old Borat knot.
Stand by your band, my ass. I won't stand by your band. That's our new title.
Let's listen to a little bit of Take a Knee, My Ass.
It's piano.
It's so pretty.
This is incredible.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Oh, man. This could be someone's first dance at their wedding.
I'll stand and place my hand upon my heart every time her anthem plays.
That's a live show for sure.
When I see somebody on TV take their stand on bended knee, whether it's on AstroTurf or grass, I think of those whose freedom was not free, and I say, take a knee, my ass.
Oh, shit!
I'll stand up for the flag.
You thought it was a ballad, you stupid piece of shit. This is a rocker.
Thank God I live in the home of the brave and the land of the free.
Oh my God, what a song.
God.
What a jam.
I would love to write a novelty song one day. That's all I want to do. Does he name drop Kaepernick in this or not?
No, I don't think he specifically names Kaepernick.
You went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Not saying anyone specific.
The big news I have here is when I was searching for Take a Knee, My Ass, I found that there is another anti-Take a Knee song.
You're kidding.
From Hank Williams Jr.
And it's a different song.
It's a different song. It's called Take a Knee, Take a Hike.
Please, God, play it right now. This is the only thing I want in the world.
The opposite of Garfield.
He doesn't know he's been replaced with a female country singer.
Well, freedom isn't free.
He said freedom isn't free.
So if you're gonna take a knee, take a hike.
How many listens do you think Take a Knee, My Ass has on Spotify?
It's got to be high enough for you to make note of it. So I will say 11 million.
Oh, okay.
I was going to put it like 5 million.
Oh, you guys went way high. No,
it's
I think
35.
Yeah, no.
Does everyone not love irony as much as
it's 700,000, oh, which is still 700,000 people were like, or one person 700,000 times. Like, let's put it
the
on.
700,000 is how many minutes are in a straight year. Those gay years of 527,000.
Oh boy.
Oh man, freedom isn't free.
I love this that he starts so by talking about how good his Monday Night Football song yeah. is.
I think this is apology. He like feels complicit in Kaepernick because he did a knee.
Oh my god.
Where he sang the song.
Are there reviews for this? Oh, damn it. Yes, there are. Okay. Taking the
Pitchfork gave it a 9.3 best new music.
somebody wrote that this song should get this is on Amazon. It says that this song should get 30 stars.
Why not 50?
Yeah.
30 stars and 8 stripes.
these words are so meaningful. A must listen.
All right. Well, we should get to the point. Dan is here to defend R. Kelly's actions.
Yeah, and, speak to that. Speak on that.
He never took a knee.
Did you guys watch the R. Kelly show? I think I asked you.
I haven't watched it yet. I've watched like some of the clips on YouTube. I mean, it's what you would expect. It's horrifying.
It's very horrifying, and it's really good to watch this on YouTube and take away dollars from the woman director who created this on Lifetime. That's why don't you stream it on Reddit, Dan?
Look, I paid BitTorrent for it, and that's owned by a guy, I think, so I'm doing my job.
I've been watching on Bro Bible, and
no, it's so good. The one thing that's I didn't talk about this last week, about having the song stuck in my head after.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've had the music stuck in my head, which is a bummer.
Putting the music in it was a mistake.
I don't know. I get why they did it. It just sucks because you leave and you're like, and they only play like 5 seconds of the songs, but then you're like, ah, shit. Also, there's one weird thing where they have like a graphic. Every time there's a new woman or girl that he meets that they introduce in it, it'll be like Aaliyah. There's like a graphic screen that comes up and it's like Aaliyah met R. Kelly when she was 12. And it like glimmers and stuff. But then they do it for everybody. So there'll be another one where it's like Michelle met R. Kelly when she was 37. It's like you couldn't afford two graphics.
But what would be like the good version of it? It's like green. Like,
yeah.
It's like a thumbs up next to it.
But yeah, he's a monster though. And anyway, defend him.
So we should. I think right away we should listen to College by Asher Roth. Just
yeah.
A piece.
Oh yeah,
we're talking
I'm
about
defending Asher Roth, which. Yes. Is a weird one to defend because a lot of people don't even know who he is, it feels right. like.
Right. Yeah, I had forgotten who he was, to be totally honest. So
yeah.
Today I did some homework on old Asher Roth, and I immediately remembered the College song. And I thought this was like a recent thing. When we talked about it originally, Tommy was like, oh, yeah, he's the I Love College guy. And I was like, I don't know, it's probably like a new thing that these kids are into these days. But it turns out this is like from like 2009.
This came out while I was in college.
Oh yeah,
so which was very important. Yeah.
All right, so this is I Love College.
I'm nice right now, man. I feel good.
It samples Weezer.
If you have a drink, would you please put it in the air? That party last night was awfully crazy. I wish
we no, what's that? Somebody's Cold One is...
Say It Ain't So?
This samples
like
Say It Ain't So. I think it samples like just the guitar from that.
Oh.
Maybe
just the bass line, yeah. Pass out of 3, wake up at 10, go out to eat,
then do it again. Man, I wanna go to college for the rest of my life.
You did not graduate
college. Sit back and drink Miller Lite. On Thursday, Thursday, and Tuesday night ice. And I can get pizza, $1 a slice. So fill up my cup, let's get fucked up. I'm next on the table, who want what? I am champion at beer pong. Allen Iverson, Hakeem Olajuwon. Don't even bounce, not in my house. Better hope you make it.
Kind of by far the most embarrassing thing he did, and it's what he got all his popularity for, because it just has a giant built-in audience away.
Yeah, it's a pandery song that, like, I mean, they even mentioned Miller Lite in this. I mean, a young Tommy McNamara is going to fall in love with this song. Of course.
There was a, we had like a intervention-y moment where we were all watching football together, and there was a commercial where a Bud Light starts sliding down the bar, and then a Miller Lite slides way past it, and you realize it's a Miller Lite ad, and I cheered as if something had happened in the game. I was like, wait a second. This is not good.
You're slowly turning into Homer Simpson.
Not that slowly.
It's happening so fast.
Yeah, so this song, it's obviously, it's like an ode to college. You just kind of names college
beer pong,
shit. Beer pong.
Yeah, frat party, frat sleeping stuff. On a couch.
Yeah, the thing where he's like, I don't understand how he's dancing with a girl and then got her naked while they're dancing.
I don't think he understands college.
Or
I think
dancing.
No, he does not. Yeah, well, he was like... he had made the hook for this song and wanted to abandon it, and then I guess his management found out about it and were like, no, this is going to be huge.
Oh, wow.
You have to make this. So they did this, and then they made an album afterwards. Like, this was, they knew they had this thing that was going to sell a whole lot, and then they were just like, well, we'll market the hell out of that, and whatever comes after comes after.
Yeah.
And it kind of screws him over really, really hard.
Yeah.
Because he's... it's everything else that he does is not from this point of view at all.
He's just immediately a joke.
Yeah, he's immediately a joke. Yeah. Everyone thinks he's so stupid. And he came out at the same time as, like, it was like him, Machine Gun Kelly,
Sammy Adams,
Mike Posner. And there were all these guys who just toured colleges all the time. And he was just like a laughing stock for so many people.
Yeah.
He was on the cover of the XXL, like, freshman magazine. And, it's a really good class, or a really interesting class, because it's him, Charles Hamilton, B.O.B., and Wale. Those were like the four guys on the main cover.
That reminds
and then,
me of college so much, just hearing those four names. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And hidden in the back was like Kid Cudi and Currency, who ended up being the biggest out of that group. But all of those guys kind of flopped for different reasons. And everyone just expected, like, oh, this guy's going to be huge. Also, like, all of the, they have those guys come into the studios and they like record them freestyling. And there's one of him where he's rapping and he's doing all of like his like little college shout outs and like, hey, I, you know, sometimes I drink kombucha and I like it. And it's just all the XXL producers like shaking their heads at him. And it ends with him going like, hey, come on, guys. I came all the way out here.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
It's really sad.
All the way out here.
Also, if you're freestyling, never use the word kombucha because you are fucked.
It was kombucha up. That doesn't rhyme with anything. I know I did this once before with drinking, orange, but...
drinking kombucha like a kombuda. Oh, no. Now I'm canceled.
Oh, I should mention, by the way, 2019 is the year of bubble tea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here we go.
2018 was the year of the smoothie, because there was one
Tommy.
Day where I drank two smoothies 2 days in a row, and then I didn't have a smoothie the rest of the year. But let me tell you something. I had bubble tea last night. I had one today, and this one is going to stick.
Tommy, you've led our listeners down this path before, and I won't have you break their hearts again. Our listeners wait up at night expecting you to drink bubble tea every day. And if you switch it up on them again, you'll never see them again.
Oh, my God.
That's right. I'm cutting off your Patreon.
Wait.
I've already started my warehouse counter where it says 2 days with bubble tea. If I have to take this thing back to zero.
We should say, you were right. The song originally sampled Weezer's Say It Ain't So from their 94 self-titled debut album. However, Roth had to rework the track when Weezer's Rivers Cuomo refused to clear it, even after being offered 100% of the publishing. You
wow.
can hear similarities in the two songs, but there is no sample.
That's what I was thinking. Oh. They sound really similar, but it sounds like like a Walmart version of
Damn.
It.
Damn.
You know?
Yeah. Let's see here. Roth, there's a lot of him saying that this is the worst song on the album and that he doesn't like it. Yeah.
Well, it's really upsetting because right before this, he had a mixtape that was like really popular on DatPiff and all those like proto mixtape websites called The Greenhouse Effect.
Mm-hmm.
It was produced by DJ Cannon, who's like really big in that world. And everyone thought they were getting this like completely other thing from him.
Mm.
And then this came out and they're like, I don't know, he's a pop star. He's making money.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, he's a handsome young man.
Yeah. Guy.
Yeah, he has like a...
kind of looks like Bo Burnham to me.
Yeah, he has a Bo Burnham mixed with middle ditch look to me a little bit in this picture.
That's that's a really good. He's just like a very skinny blonde guy.
But yeah, he seems like a nice guy. I don't know. He's so positive in a lot of his music. It's weird. Let's listen to some of Grind because this is a different sound.
He released this as a single after the first album, and I thought this should have been the single because it sets you up so much better for like what he's into.
1500 another. Yeah, yeah, yo, this one's for the people. All the bees that'll bleed in the sleep and the east should breathe. I thought we all equal. Ain't a man on the God's green bee underneath any other. I don't wanna play preacher, but I swear they turn an ear when we talk about peace and love. Sometimes might need a hug. Yeah, we all wanna come on up above, but this ain't about Jesus. No way, no Abe, no Ike, Moses or Muhammad. Yeah, it's all about believing. Full steam ahead because you know the worst times are behind me. I don't wanna sound cheesy, but it's just to really mean it. Yeah, I'm telling, I can feel it. It's the reason I don't sleep, I'll be way too weak tonight. This one's for all of y'all, I'm the same as all of y'all. I'm on my shit, I work real hard enough for every little bit that I get. But this is all I need, so sing this song with me. It goes like, so sound like this. Everybody start clapping hands. It's like
no one's listed as a feature on this, but I think it might be his own voice a little distorted.
That's
because
what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, he had a recent project come out that's like a band that he wants to do, and he has a lot of like vocals that sound like this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This song has a positive message that life isn't all about partying. It also acts as an ode to Barack Obama.
No.
Change, I can feel it, Mr. President. It's all going to be okay. Oh, God. Yeah, it sucks. It doesn't hold up.
No.
That is so funny.
Roth is a big Obama supporter who even wore an Obama t-shirt in his first music video for his 2008 track, Roth Boys.
Man. This is true. On that, his first mixtape, it's like right when Obama was running, and he like does a shout out to Obama. So in his mind, he's like, I think I had a little bit of a hand in getting
We need to shout out Obama more on the show.
Love him. He had a great movie list. I was proud of his movie list.
Yeah.
Oh, did he put out like his Oscar picks?
Movies of the year. Just like his top 10 movies of the year. There are a lot of good stuff on there.
Next year he's putting out his favorite podcast list, and we better goddamn well be on
it's just
it.
Come down.
I'm a cum boy.
I am a cum boy.
That would be CNN reporting. President Obama identifies as cum boy.
I like stop.
That's so funny. It reminds me of the Chris Lilley, the white rapper character. He does Smouse. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that from Angry Boys? He has a white rapper character who sings a song to Obama, and it's just Obama, what you gonna do? And he goes, Obama, come on, President. It's like the funniest thing in the world.
I want to call out, along with that college song, because this Grind song is way more of what he's into.
I like the beat a lot for that.
Yeah, that one was a lot better. Because when I first listened to this college song, I was like, oh man, this is gonna suck.
Yeah,
yeah. You have to play it though. It's like
of
the
course.
Only
of
way
course.
Anyone knows.
Even
who
if you
is.
Didn't put on the playlist, we would have played it first to see how.
So he, in addition to not being into this, he also got compared his. I think his label and a lot of people just wanted to compare him to Eminem, and that fucked him too because he's not Eminem. But his they were like because he's a white guy. I was reading an article about it that made some decent points about it. But it's not just that he's a white guy. He does, his voice also sounds a lot like Eminem at times. So I could see it, but it's not fair that I mean when you get compared to somebody like that when they're like, oh, it's the new that guy, and they kind of sound like that guy, that never works out. That's never going to be it.
Especially, like, I mean, he never really got big enough that Eminem acknowledged him that much. Like, he never, I don't think he has.
There's, like, one thing I found where he shit on, where Eminem shit on him, and then Asher Roth is just like, yeah, it was pretty good what he did.
He's every interview with him, he's the like crunchiest, vibiest dude. So I'm sure that he was just like, yeah, you know, nothing but love for all the mean things Eminem said to me. I'm happy he did.
I kind of hate that. I hate that. That's why I hate the college starts. Was like, I'm nice right now. It's like, oh, I hate that. Yeah. I don't want to hear that. Get a job.
On Eminem's asshole, a record.
There was a
there was a cyst.
A mole. Yeah.
On Eminem's asshole, a record from his newly released the Marshall Mathers LP 2, the Detroit rapper briefly recalls Asher's record as he calls out the MC by name. On the Skylar Grey assisted record, Eminem raps, "Quit acting salty. I was counting on you to count me out. Ask Asher Roth when he roundabout dissed me to shout me out. Thought I was history, but goddamn honky, that compliment's like backhanding a donkey." Man, my flow was sick on there. Asher responded to the diss during an appearance on Hot 97's The Juan Epstein Show and revealed that instead of being offended by Eminem, he was more amazed by the mention. "It's cool, man," said Asher. "I thought it was pretty amazing. There's nothing really there. It's like, I've never really met him. I don't know him personally. You know what I mean?" He said it was amazing.
That's so funny.
He's so badly suited for rap, especially like that period of it.
Also, backhanding a donkey, something I'm happy Shrek never did. That would
have
broken my heart.
The outtakes. They're on RedTube in the corner.
Big Dick Shrek slap backhands a donkey.
Big Dick Shrek. I was in I just saw Beale Street, and there's a moment where a man hits a woman, and someone started clapping.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh my god.
And I was like trying to like get a look at who it was, but I couldn't tell.
It's just Donald Trump. That's crazy. Oh my god.
I hate so much when people do that where they're like, "I'm going to be the villain of this movie."
Yeah.
Yeah, of the theater. Yeah.
Ugh. Well, that's like there was when I saw mid 90s, there was a guy who laughed literally every time they said the F word.
Yeah, that's in poor taste.
Yeah, it was in poor taste.
Yeah, that's no good. Let's see. There was speaking of the F word, in that regard, I looked up Asher Roth controversy. And
oh no! His weakness.
It says, "Asher Roth addresses gay rumor." And he said, "It's in all caps." He says, "I hate to disappoint and take away the entertainment of it all, but I am straight, not gay. It's disheartening to know such news on someone's personal life can be portrayed as fact with no viable source. This, to me, is an opportunity to expose our vulnerability to lies and manipulation through unprofessional and irresponsible news outlets in which people consider truth. Further, someone's sexual orientation should never be big news, as it delivers a troubling message to children that they can't be themselves without fear of judgment. Race, creed, and sexual persuasion should not just be tolerated, but understood and accepted."
There's no chance
he wrapped that. He wrapped that up by saying "no homo" at the end.
Pause.
It's extremely disappointing that this topic would be used with the intention of being hurtful. We are near 2010. Oh, this is from a while ago, yeah. I guess.
I would guess 2009.
And then it says, related, "Who's Asher Roth's brown sugar?"
Oh,
wow. Oh, God. Let's see here.
That sounds like the most publicist crafted statement of all time.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
What is this? He apparently had some Twitter comment also. Oh, shit. Yeah, he had something about black rappers flaunting their wealth in the faces of those suffering in Africa.
Oh,
well,
come on.
That's not good.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are some times it's good to not be well known, and that is one of them.
Yeah, sure.
He deleted them very quickly. He went on a real trip where he was all about, like, yeah, I'm about, like, not flaunting your wealth and, you know, being, like, a more down-to-earth kind of rapper, and he let that, he kind of ran wild with that one a little bit.
It's nice when you don't have enough money to flaunt your wealth. He's, like, the richest guy in the world.
He has since moved to songs where he's like, "It sure would be nice if I could buy a house one day."
Working 9 to 5.
I hate the office, but love all the lunches. Bringing a brown bag. Watching Ron Funches.
Damn, Cypher Tommy.
Write and paste articles.
Shout out Yusuf Roach.
Let's listen to Last Man Standing while we're sitting here.
Oh, oh, oh.
say no more. Had to walk around the block, couldn't take no more. Like escaper from the rock, couldn't wait no more. Sean Kong cock, penis mightier than the sword. So I'm sleeping with the whores while I filed for divorce. Plain and simple and in short, when it rains, man, it pours. Stepping in manure, second sipping in the moor. Quickest leopard gets the boar, secret weapons win the war.
Yeah, he, look, it was 2011.
We were all sleeping with whores while filing for divorce.
Very single man when he wrote that. Never married.
This sounds like a late Eminem beat, like the drums.
Yeah. Well, it's got, yeah, it's like an Akon produced thing, oh, so it sounds a lot like that. Yeah. The music video is great because it's like Akon is green screened in because he clearly was not about to make time to be in the big Asher Roth music video.
He's gonna be so lonely all the time. Don't hang out with Asher Roth. Mr. Lonely.
Mr. Lonely.
Get the fuck out of here.
Is there a Mrs. Lonely?
No. Emphatically no.
No, I like this song, so I was always like, yeah, this would be, if he really wanted to do a big single, this should have been the type of thing he did instead. This is like my idea of what he should have done to slowly build his career instead of just have one bad song to cash in on.
Yeah.
Which is weird, too, because he had really, really good management. He had the same guy who found Justin Bieber found him.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
This feels like a song that would be on a Madden soundtrack and you would never remember it. And you'd hear like, oh, yeah, that was a
yeah.
Madden.
Yeah.
Because they prone to steal. When friends become foes, know you're doing it well. Just keep it going. I'm a red pill.
We need to start putting podcasts on the Madden soundtrack.
There's Marin on Conan. Great episode, man.
Oh, I gotta listen.
Yeah. That is really fun because for once, Marin kind of gets put on the spot.
Yep. Yeah, it's great.
Ooh, I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah.
I did like the part. I only heard one part where he called him a narcissist, and I really liked that.
That was, yeah, the best part.
It's
yeah,
so
that's
good.
The highlight.
Let me see here. This line, like, escaper from the rock couldn't wait no more. Sean Conn cocked penis mightier than the sword.
Which is kind of ripping off a Celebrity Jeopardy bit from SNL, but I'll live with it.
Sean Conn cocked penis.
Think about it, Tom. I'm on Rap Genius every day looking up, seeing if anyone put a new spin on that. And by the way, we haven't addressed that Asher Roth is the son of recently deceased novelist Philip Roth.
Yes.
One of the last great American novelists.
We should address that. Moment of silence.
Where do you think he got all the great wordplay from?
Portnoy's complaint that his son sucks. That's a Philip Roth joke, folks.
I want to say, Akon, not for me.
No?
I loved Locked Up when it came out.
Locked Up was the only one that I liked. And then I didn't like Mr. Lonely. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then he does Slap That, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's him and... is that him
and Eminem?
Eminem, right?
Yeah.
I hated that.
It sounds so similar.
That made
to that
me hate
song.
Both of them. That does sound like that, and I hated Slap That.
You know what I liked him on? On that Gwen Stefani one where he just went, Great Escape or Sweet Escape.
Is that him?
Yeah. Isn't that him?
Yes, that is.
Yeah. I do like that. Yeah. That's a good song.
Now he should just do more stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just come on and say woo-woo.
Akon, you're invited to come sit on our podcast, and every once in a while just go like, woo.
Hit us that with that Little great. Richard.
That's so funny. My girlfriend had me watching some Drag Race highlights from like best ofs throughout the years to try to, I think.
What you mean, like Tokyo Drift?
Yes. There's this one where it doesn't matter. There's somebody who does a little Richard impression. It's very hard to do that voice.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Can you guys do it? No.
I'm going to keep going.
All right. You do this for the rest of
the
hour.
They should put this part of our podcast in, man.
All right. Let's listen. Before we get much further into the show, we have to go to Jared.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
If you don't know this segment, our friend and foe of the podcast, Jared Thompson, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, where I will be this weekend.
Oh, I forgot you were doing
Thursday
that.
Through Saturday. I'm figuring out I'm hammering Burn Out My Half Hour, which I will be taping in New Orleans January 31st. Get free tickets. Go to, you know, search it. If you Google it.
Can I pitch something?
What's that?
You bring a hammer on stage.
I've done that before.
What?
Yeah. You guys are all going to listen to what I have to say.
No, this is true. One time I...
that is so weird that this is leading to a story.
I know. When I, the first time I left, when I moved out of Bloomington to move to Ohio, like when I was, this is like nine years ago.
It was a good move, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 8 or 9 years ago. I was in the contest, and I decided that I was going to do, because I couldn't be in the contest anymore anyway, so I was like, here's what I'll do. I'm going to bring a watermelon and a hammer on stage
so
and do a Gallagher thing. But I just left the stuff on the stool the whole time and never addressed it, and then I took it back with me. It was fun. Anyway, Jared is our friend, and he likes to leave his thoughts on the band we're talking about each week. I have a feeling that I'm gonna let him speak for himself here. What the hell? Oh,
defending Asher Roth, which, like a lot of you probably, and I'm sure they've talked about this already on the show, I've never heard of this person. I think there's a pretty good reason why after listening to him. So I'm trying to figure out exactly how this was on here and like what it was. And it looks like that he's got like one hit song, something about college, something or other. And the one thing I couldn't exactly place what it reminded me of immediately. And then it came to me like a light bulb over my head. And there's like a Nissan commercial or some sort of car commercial where like they're taking a test drive, and the guy in the passenger seat that like works for the dealership like starts rapping. He's just like a white guy, and it's like completely nothing special even remotely. It's just the most basic thing that you've ever heard someone do. Like, it's like watching the basketball in Teen Wolf. Like, they think that, like, they just didn't get anyone who could play basketball. You're like, why would they think that this would, people would think this is what basketball looks like? It like, that's how bad of a rapper the guy is in the commercial. And that's what it sounds like. It's just, like, a guy. Like, there's nothing. It's, like, nothing good at all. I can only imagine that whoever the guest is for this is going to try to argue that the guy's talented, I guess. I mean, I don't know why else you would want to defend it, but I tried to listen to some of the other songs, and it's like, I mean, I don't know. I think there's like mixtapes. It's kind of confusing exactly what this is or who this person is. So, I mean, this certainly no one will have any idea who this person is like very shortly. Like, there's no way this guy's ever going to be known for anything. So, sorry, I don't have anything more to say. I mean, this is just, it sucks. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Jared. Sorry, the first part got cut off.
I feel
off,
like so I broke
out.
Him.
I love the Nissan part.
That is a good point. Yeah, I think that there's a lot to be gleaned from that. I knew that I already knew that Jared didn't know who he was, but I had a feeling. What I was gonna say is I have a feeling a lot of this will be about not knowing who he is. But no, a lot of good points. Dan, what do you have to say for yourself?
The basketball in Teen Wolf is incredibly entertaining and constantly mentioned as one of the great sports scenes in movies.
Hey, this is a football podcast.
That's right. Yeah, you talk about...
that damn Teen Wolf took a knee.
You talk about Air Bud Golden Retriever, or you you go fuck yourself.
It was Golden Receiver.
No. Damn it.
That wouldn't make any sense. That's not the breed of dog.
Yeah, there's not a breed of dog called Golden Receiver, you idiot. Damn it. Okay, Angels in the End Zone.
I did like when you asked what team was the team in Angels in the Outfield.
It's the Detroit Tigers.
I'm a little under the weather right now, and I'm going to blame everything on that. than this entire podcast, not just this episode.
Oh,
the whole.
What are we
thing.
At? Are we? Gonna, we got to be
we're
close to
100. Close to
100.
Right?
We
this is, I think, our
91st
episode.
Oh wow!
I believe that is right.
We're on our test of episodes.
Yeah,
that's right.
We're gonna fight a fan.
Yeah, that's right. We're gonna go into the bleachers and our show. Oh, damn it! This will have already come out. The next live show, we're gonna go into the stands and we're gonna fight someone in the audience. And we're also gonna have stands at our next show.
I'm excited to see you guys sell out MSG.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Somebody come to our next show, throw a beer at Tommy, and we'll climb into the stands and fight you. And we'll have Connor there to sucker punch somebody.
Nice.
One of us, probably.
Yeah, it just all ends up with me getting beat the shit beat out of me after a beer is thrown on me.
Actually, I'm sorry. This is Stand By Your Band. You throw a cup of piss at him. That's what he wants.
We made it so far without a reference to it.
It's a new year, same piss.
He's running into the crowd to thank the audience.
He's shaking their hands. Let's go to Facebook while we're while I have Facebook pulled up. As always, you can if you want to be a part of the Facebook conversation, just add me on Facebook or whatever. I don't know what else you can do. I got to start that fan page.
Are you getting near 5,000?
What's that?
Are you getting near that 5,000 friend limit?
I have like a bunch of requests that I haven't accepted. I think if I did that, I would probably be there, but I don't like to accept. I don't like to accept people I don't know and accept now people who listen to this podcast. I got a friend request as we're talking. All right. Confirm. There. I'm not looking at anything anymore.
Your computer explodes.
Bots. Yeah. I'll accept bots and anybody who adds me.
I do that. I confirm everyone.
Really? I don't. Yeah. I have a giant backed up list. You confirm everybody, Dan?
Everyone except I have like a couple of younger cousins that I haven't confirmed because I like being wild on Facebook.
Ooh, even the one that stole your laptop? That dirty
motherfucker? Yeah, I have like, I wish there was a place where you could just see the number of. Oh, I have 131 friend requests that it's like, I have a feeling probably 60 of these people are just like fake accounts. And then most of them are comics that I don't know, you know, or that have added me that like, I don't know. They don't live here. They're just like, hey, I live in South Dakota and
yeah,
I want you to bring
Facebook.
Me on the road or whatever.
I accept everyone. And then if sometimes someone like a bot or someone will message you just hi and it terrifies me. And I'm like, well, I shouldn't accept everyone.
Yeah.
But then
I do. But yeah. Okay. Let's go to Facebook. Facebook's so good. Oh, great. I just fucking did this.
Wait, did you get a message?
It's a little panda emoji that says hi.
Hello. Oh, God damn it.
Wait, can you respond and we'll just see while we're reading Facebook if anything happens?
It says, have you heard about the CDC's Community Development Corporation program? I've heard of the ABC, but the CDC?
Isn't it the Center for Disease Control?
Yeah. Community Development... what is this?
He's on your time. Yeah. Say, have you heard of Asher Roth? And just see what happens.
Oh, my God.
What are your thoughts on Asher Roth? We'll see if
we
can get
there. We were wrong on the advice we gave you.
Yeah, this is immediately backfiring.
Can you please say what do you think about Asher Roth? I just want to see if they respond.
Yeah.
And we'll close the episode with their thoughts.
Okay. This is going to be his number one fan, a Russian bot. Good God.
Okay, I asked. We'll see if we get anything.
All right.
This is so dumb.
Yes.
We're talking. Okay, so I wrote, we're talking about Asher Roth on the pod if you have any thoughts. Marcus Coleman, my buddy, wrote, I liked him on the Fat Raps remix. Never really gave him a shot because of the college song, and my white friend's really pushing him on me. Also, Fallen is a good song. Garrett Elzinga writes, only listen to the first album, but it's another case of people hating someone because of one song. I love College is easily the weakest song, but something like Fallen or His Dream is what he should be known for. Sadly, can't speak on the later albums. My friend Meredith wrote, "Man, I love college. Like, I always thought that." And then he said it. And I was like, damn. This is crazy. Our friend and comedian Adam Mamawala, good man.
Yeah,
wrote,
good man.
Met him when I was doing an internship at MTV while I was in college, right after I Love College came out. Super nice guy. Had a conversation with him about rap, and he essentially said, "All of my dreams are coming true, but I'm afraid that no one will ever take me seriously as a rapper because of I Love College." I guess he was right. Bought his album, Asleep in the Bread Aisle, purely because he was nice to me. It wasn't bad, actually. And then he posted a picture of them together.
Oh, shit. Wow.
It's pretty, yeah, pretty crazy. Man,
that's horrifying that Asher Roth called it.
Yeah, right?
I know. I mean, it seems like he knew. I mean, I don't think he wanted to do that. It's a real bummer. A lot of like the song facts about that are him just being like, look, I know. It's not the best thing. Tabari McCoy, comic in Cincinnati, writes, I do have thoughts. His label tried to force Eminem comparisons on him instead of just letting him be him in their marketing. He was behind the eight ball. He was just a stoner who was like a white kid Cuddy, and they should have just let him be. Mm. He's more alt-rap in his subject matter, but not in his approach to how he made his tracks. His Paps and Jazz album is what his major label debut should have been. Not bad. Mm-hmm. I
a lot
agree
of positive
with a lot
on
of that.
Facebook. Wow.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people on this this thread definitely are on his they are understanding of the thing.
Yeah, there's no naysayers because no one knows who he is enough to do that.
Right. Yeah, it's either you like him a little bit or you've forgotten about him, it seems like.
Yeah.
Okay, I just got a double question mark from this person.
Wow, it's the ultimate
Janie Janamot. This does not seem to be... They're only friends with 60 people. What am I doing?
I will say, speaking of stoners, remember last night?
Oh, man. Oh, I got had. I got had bad. I'm new in the city, and I didn't know that the big green trucks that are saying they sell edibles don't actually have edibles.
Oh, that happened here.
Yeah.
Last night. I thought you were saying that this happened in Chicago.
No, okay. There are these big green, like, RVs
so
here.
I've never seen anybody approach these trucks. Always wondered how the hell they can get away with this. Because go ahead, sorry.
Well, they were like, hey, would you like to buy an edible? And I was like, it's so wonderful that you can just sell these out on the street to anybody who would like to have one. And I bought it, and it was just a kind of good brownie.
A decent brownie.
Anything
yeah, we split it. We each had like half of it and felt no different at all. Like zero.
So you both, I would have fallen for this too, for sure.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because it definitely says like... Does it say marijuana?
I think the truck says weed on the side.
It's in
of the
like
truck.
It's in a little bag that says like for medical use only.
Oh my
so
god!
So stupid. Yeah. It is like
How much do they cost?
I don't know. I just handed him a big wad of cash. And went, is this enough, sir? I felt like such a hayseed.
Yeah, well, Eli, you're the best guy.
Like, oh, what are you doing? Using that?
That is so funny.
That was a perfect Eli.
That was a perfect boom hour.
Okay, I'm deleting this guy. God damn.
Sorry,
it.
Tom.
It's not a real person. Or it's
no
a
love
scam.
For the CDC.
Well, it says I got $125,000 delivered to me, and I also saw your name on their claim list.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, maybe I should hit them up.
You could buy a bunch of brownies with that.
And then just a double question mark. Damn it. Well, I guess I won't be adding you on Facebook.
Yeah, you should accept my request.
Nope. Me and your dad are standing. let's see here. Let's listen to some more music. We have to rush through this. The game's already started. We're not even on. We're watching it. All right, let's listen to Common Knowledge.
This is like, these next ones are where he becomes kind of more the artist he should have been.
They say that if it works, don't fix it. Go against the law, might get a bit
he
risky.
A ton like
no offense
Eminem
to y'all,
here.
But I feel a bit gifted. So I think my odds are about 50-50.
crispy. Okay, Corral, we about to put it down. Take your turn around, go and pull your pistols out. But what is this about? All these grenades and handguns. Magnus Vermagnuson, strong set of hands, son. Tall, dark,
shout out to Magnus Vermagnuson.
Strong arm, Lance, so scared that he can't run. Cause when a man comes face to face with a spear, he gets weird. He can't hear, he can't see things clear. I be sincere, yes, dear, yes, here. Press gear, dress queer, fresh in my neck beard. Next year, net gear, gentlier, get near. Top tier, drop tears, no way, not here. Cause there's no crying in
this
baseball.
This is the last album that he did with a major label. And then he, like, went to an indie and kind of started doing his own thing. But I think, like, listening to this, if he would have tried to stick with a major label, eventually his career path would have just been being, like, a ghostwriter for someone.
Sure.
Because he's technically pretty decent, but it's like, he's kind of already damaged goods from how he started his career, so it's a tough move.
It's about, this isn't even that long after, oh shit.
No.
This is like 2 years later.
Yeah, this is 2 years, and he started, when he came out, he was like, he'd be wearing like a cardigan sweater, short, clean, hair, clean shaven. And by the time this comes out, he has like big long hair and a grown beard, and was like kind of, he kind of dressed like the Big Lebowski at this point. So it was just like he made such a big change without people really being that on board yet.
Yeah.
And it really put him behind the eight ball.
No, for sure. It's so funny. I really like that song. I think that one's really good. But yeah, he's just not. It's funny how like there's not a lot of information, like not a lot of people talking about this album.
No.
Online, it's crazy.
Well, the weird thing is like I think that there is only ever going to be like one or two white rappers, and that's really all that we need.
Yeah. There is a quota.
But the guys that came, full. The guys that came after him are kind of like a little bit of different. Like he is funny, but he's not just doing funny stuff. And then you have someone like Lil Dicky who only does that. And then sometimes he's just like a good rapper. And then you have someone like Machine Gun Kelly who like leans really hard into that. And I don't think he picked a lane enough and it kind of screws him over.
Sure.
But I think he's better than both of those guys just on his own.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to Fast Life.
You've got a fast life.
Someone's always caught up in a fast life. Someone's always caught up in a fast life. Someone's always caught in a fast life. Fast life. Someone's always caught in a fast life. Far too delicate. It's hard when a father is yelling it. Takes it out on her, the dark for the hell of it. Only 13 when she started developing. By 15, attracting the older gentleman. She let him in, mom wasn't looking, she might have been. Turned a blind eye, thought it better than fighting with. A little girl caught in a sinister world. No sibling or sister that could show her the pearl. So she turns to the night sky, drinking to get by. Pills above the sink, that be helping her get high. All the while,
he really is all about a positive
feeling
message.
Like the only way of living is yeah, it's die. Weird.
It's Macklemore.
I was going to say that earlier. I feel like a lot of his shit is Macklemore.
Yeah. Even though he was before Macklemore.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like, it's very positive. It's like, it's a little, it's weird. That grind song felt like Macklemore to me a lot.
Yeah. Macklemore, I think, as far as like guys who bite Eminem's voice, is way, way worse at it, in my opinion.
We did a Macklemore episode, and I don't remember what we gave him, but the more I hear Macklemore, the more I don't like Macklemore.
Yeah.
This I enjoy. Like, I enjoy this.
Yeah. This song also is like, this is something that started happening with him later in his career, is he started getting really good features on here.
Uh-huh.
Like,
Vic Mensa is on this.
On this song? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Vic Mensa, by the way, one of my favorite songs of, I think, last year, with Say I Didn't.
That it's opening so song good. Off his album, so good. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I think, like, it kind of speaks to how not embarrassing he is at his craft that a lot of really good people are willing to get on songs with him because he actually knows what he's doing, and for them, it's like, it's kind of a free shot to be on a pretty well-produced project, and I can do whatever I want. If someone finds it, they find it. If not, I got to try something out.
Yeah,
right. For sure. Let's see. What does he say about this? Oh, this is just a... Never mind. This is a video of this. I read an article that was someone defending all this. Oh yeah, what happened? This is on Hip Hop Speakeasy, and it's called "What Happened: The Misunderstanding of Asher Roth," and it came out January of 2017. But it explains a lot of like.
Can you imagine right after the election being like, I need to focus all my energy on defending Asher Roth?
That would suck because you know that they probably put work into it before. And you're I got to finish this
shit. It's like
shit.
The day of the inauguration.
I got to care about this white rapper and defend him because it's a long thing.
There's like an improvised paragraph about, you know who didn't perform at the inauguration.
Oh, some people said this is a cringy read, but other people said it's good. I thought it was good. Because
I'm not on the word cringe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cringe is...
it's so overused.
Yeah, it is. It's like creepy where it got like... It has no meaning anymore.
Too much of a catch-all.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, this is basically saying... that it talks about the transformation if you want to read more in-depth shit about it.
What website was it on?
This is on Hip Hop Speakeasy.
Oh, yeah.
So go on there. I don't want to go too far into it, but it was good. Let's listen to Temptation.
I never signed a promise right away.
Yeah, I need it, I want it, forgive me, my heavenly father. The demon inside us is seemingly only get stronger. We're seen in Nevada with Jesus and thousands of dollars. Things we encounter for penis inside a vagina.
What?
Gynecology, I am not the normality. No manometer, rhyming when honesty's not an option. Getting passion and patient.
Like if Jeff Asbus was a rapper.
Like very clinical description.
People say that they made it, go posting photos of bull rubbing poses, always they paychecks. Straight flexing, I'm ripping right through the latex. Fetish of flesh, can't blame me, hating safe sex. Just couldn't do it, the cutest proved to be prudest. My living room is a nudisty colony, I recruited.
My living room is a nudisty colony.
I'm saying.
Bubble tea colony.
You don't like me, then oh. My family doing so. We just doing our jobs, you know we do it so.
The second feature on this one is Royce da 5'9".
Yeah.
Who,
Eminem.
He's a huge Eminem guy, which kind of like, if that guy's willing to do a song with him, man. This album was also produced by Travis Barker.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he play the drums?
That's great. Yeah. He's got the album Rother is produced by Nas Raw and Roth and Travis Barker.
Wow.
So yeah, it's like he's got some interesting projects. He's thrown a lot of stuff against the wall, hoping something else will stick.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like seeing that, just because it reminds you, like, oh yeah, there is like part of the creative process of making stuff is just like, yeah, you try out different things and hope something catches on. He's more of a fun career to follow for me than anything else.
Yeah. I'm trying to find none of these videos have more than like 3 comments on them.
Oh,
it's very weird. This one's lyrically crazy. Okay, yeah, none of them have any views. It's so weird.
Yeah, he,
this is the craziest shit. Yeah, this has 8,000 views.
It's almost, I don't get how it's even possible, because when you just put the other names that are attached to this, it's like, you should get to like 25,000 views easy.
That's insane.
It's like 8,000 views when all you need
is 10 million. the last song on this playlist is a little song called Make It Work.
Mm-hmm. And this is Blended Babies, Anderson .Paak, and Asher Roth.
Oh, Anderson .Paak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I said it's worth more mentally when you can touch but keep the peace. It's simple but deceptively. I feel you want, I know your taste. I fell in love with your work. I know that you're worth it.
Anderson .Paak is I'm in great. Love. Asher Roth isn't on this song. I lied to you guys. I just love this.
You added it to Spotify. Spotify's like Wikipedia. You just gotta go.
Who could regret this? I fell in love with your work. It seems like you're worth it. I wanna make it work. I wanna make it good if it kills me. You have to be hurt to ever feel good. I wanna make it work. I wanna make it good till tomorrow. You have to be hurt.
I don't wanna though. Especially tonight, you look phenomenal, simply astronomical. I had a moment while zoning, thought of us alone, I had you moaning. Y'all wanna jump your bones, but it takes more than a boner for us to make a happy home. And when I grow
it's
up,
like when people
strong,
put sirens in rap songs, so like, oh no, a cop car. Is there a woman having sex?
Yeah, I always have to check my bag when I'm driving. Who's having sex back there?
Says I wanna make it work. That might not even work, cause do I really believe that two people on this earth are meant to be? Eventually, I guess we'll see. But in the meantime, this road is weed. Turn our free time to you and
me. See, I think
time.
This is the, like, if he would have come along with this era of music, he would have been just fine. Because this is, like,
for
who
sure.
he should be working with.
Yeah. He, I hate to compare him to Eminem because it does feel lazy,
that's
but his voice is so much like him.
Yeah.
He feels like a sweet Eminem almost.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
This is he's good family Eminem. Yeah. His mom raised him better.
I really love the line, it takes more than a boner to make a happy home.
Oh, God.
Insane.
Jesus.
It takes more than a boner, but don't get it twisted. A boner is a very important part of a happy home.
I've been trying to tell Tommy, because we live together, I've been trying to tell him for a long time, it takes more than just a boner to make a happy home. He just walks around all cranked out all the time.
All right, 2 out of 6.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think he sucked. I liked some of the beats, but it just made me want to listen to other rappers the whole time.
That's
yeah,
exactly.
I was like, oh, this one sounds like
Atmosphere. I was like, oh, yeah, Anderson .Paak is
yeah.
great.
yeah, I don't think, yeah, I think you did a good job showing that, like, he's not a joke, but yeah, it's just, like, all kind of, like, fine.
Yeah, it's, he got to, like, a certain level, but never really passed it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's, like, a little disappointing. It's not, like, the greatest loss in the world where it's, like, there's going to be a Searching for Sugar Man documentary about him.
You need to make it.
He's just in Williamsburg. It's like not hard to find him at all.
Yeah, it's just me going like, I can't find him when I Google him. Like, nah, that's not enough hits. This can't be the right guy.
He's got like 100 Instagram followers or something. It's like, that can't be him.
Yeah, I can't. No, it's me. I'm right here.
Just you're going 2 out of 6. I'm going by the playlist and not the man this time. I really am not an Akon guy. I didn't love that Last Man Standing song. I really liked Common Knowledge. Fast Life was pretty good. I didn't love Temptation. I'm not going to count I Love College because we were just listening to that to refresh. Grind was fine. I'm going to go 3.5.
I'll take it.
3.5 because I really liked that last song even though I mostly loved the beginning and not his parts of the song.
I think that the bot who friended you said it best. Double question mark?
All right, well, a 2 and a 3.5. We got him up to a 5.5.
That's how it works.
Pretty good,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, what is your rating?
Yeah, what is your rating?
I mean, I give him like a 4 out of 6, I think. Yeah, I think he's a lot better. I think if you want to listen to like woke rap or like Macklemore or something like that, I think he's a more approachable version of that. He's more fun.
He's definitely a bit more fun than Macklemore.
Yeah.
He's not as good as Eminem, but he's like, and not to, I hate to, but, and he's not woke rap, but like, I don't know. Yeah. I think he's one of the better of his type for sure.
Yeah. He's, and there's guys who I think are, in the same ballpark as him who get a lot more love. Like, Domogenesis is a guy who has like an album with a couple of really good songs. I'm like, oh, they're probably like similarly talented. There's just nothing embarrassing going on.
But one's
on with
cool.
Dome.
Yeah.
Yeah, one guy's cool. Yeah. So I think like, yeah, he just like he's such an example of like he played his career way wrong and it kind of came back to bite him in the ass where like there might have been a way that this plays out and it's not so uncomfortable for him. But
yeah.
If he could Bandersnatch his life.
All right, guys.
What a waste of time that was. Sorry.
I didn't need to go after that for
no reason.
I've been doing speed runs in Bandersnatch. I get that guy dead in like 2 minutes now.
No, I don't. I'm not even.
You're fine.
We gotta get out of here, boys. But is there anything you want to plug?
Follow me on Twitter at Dan the Drees, and I have a podcast called Basketball Stories, where I tell stories about weird stuff that happens off the court in basketball with my friends Kyle and Cleveland.
We right when we were playing 2K earlier, we watched the funniest fucking video. It was who was the
guy? Dennis Scott has a breakdown at a basketball camp he was doing.
It's one of the funniest things ever.
It starts with local news coverage, and this woman is like, local NBA player Dennis Scott had a minor breakdown at his NBA camp. And it's her narrating all the things he said. And the first thing she said is that he told children not to, if they see him on the street, not to ask him for his autograph, but to ask him about the rage that exists inside of him.
No.
And then it shows him like walking around screaming at children.
Oh my God.
It's so great.
The rage that exists.
That is amazing.
There's a part where he looks directly into camera. He goes, "This is America. If you're scared, say you're scared, because I ain't scared." And then walks away.
And then he goes up to a little girl and he just kind of like starts yelling again.
Oh my God.
It's a great breakdown from the face of NBA TV.
It's amazing.
Just hearing that news that he said.
The rage that exists, yeah.
Rather than autographs.
That's so funny. Tom, we should do a podcasting camp for kids where we just yell at them.
He also denies being on cocaine and then immediately gets in a car that is blasting music and drives away to
see
my
God.
Friend.
It's one of the hardest things I've ever done.
That's amazing.
Yeah, check that out.
I have a link to it in the signature of all my emails, so email me
and
I'll get back to you with that link.
That's so funny.
You're talking about earlier, but just picture a kid like, "Mr. Scott, I don't want an autograph, but could you tell me about the rage that exists?"
I'm so glad you asked. There's a black mass inside my heart like there isn't everyone else's heart.
Anyways, I will be at I'll be at the Comedy Attic this Thursday through Saturday. Come hang out. Bree Pruitt. I almost said Bree Larson. Bree Pruitt is going to be opening for me, as well as a green shirt, Connor Delahanty.
Oh, Connor's going to be there?
Going to be hosting. So it's going to be a fun week. Come hang out, Tommy.
Come to my weekly show on Tuesdays at Coney Island Baby at 7. It's been really good lately, so I'm excited about that.
That is tight. All right, guys. Keep it crispy, and one more time. Oh, wait.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.